keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive on mic. Just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for.
Welcome to the Tuesday night edition of the Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson, followed with my co-host,
Dedrick Young. How you doing, guys?
How you doing tonight, Dedrick?
I'm doing good, man.
Good,
good. You got a lot to cover tonight.
Man, there's a ton going on.
Yeah, man.
Let's see. I guess we should go ahead and start off the top and talk about everything that's going on with Parrish. There's just a ton of different angles with this story right now. I know that the media is beating up Obama really bad for having not gone over to Parrish and stood with the other world leaders.
Well, you know, several NYPD officers attended the memorial in Paris. You saw that?
I saw that, and I saw where they went over there, and, you know, everyone's so outraged that Obama's not over there. And, you know, for me personally, as someone that disagrees with Obama most of the time, like, I don't see a problem with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad, but you know what? That's not our country. That's not his job to go over to Parrish. You know, his job is here in this country. And so I don't see a problem with him not going over there and standing and holding arms and holding hands with Benjamin Netanyahu. But
so you don't feel that he should have went over and at least, like, you know, showed a presence?
I feel like, you know, it goes back to so much of our foreign policy. Everything becomes, you know, the United States' business. You know, people need to deal with their own situations. And, you know, there's definitely aspects of the story that America is getting drug into with CIA, FBI, you know, who knew what about, you know, the two brothers. This whole scenario, you know, Amidi, the guy at the kosher market, he gets on the phone and starts talking with CNN while he's got hostages. I mean, so much.
I saw that. You know, it's a lot of questions that need to be asked.
Right, and I think especially the last thing we need to be talking about is whether or not Obama went over there.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, and what's funny is a lot of the conservatives are attacking him for not going over there, but at the same time, if he would have gone over there, they would have started screaming, why are you wasting taxpayers' dollars to go take a vacation in Paris? You know,
and it's kind of amazing to hear you talking so, you know, you defending Obama.
you know, it's something I rarely do, but if he didn't do anything wrong, then, you know, I'm not going to criticize him for something.
Yeah, I understand.
But got a call coming in already for the evening. Area code 682. This is Anti-Media Radio. What would you like to talk about tonight?
What are you guys actually really talking about tonight?
Say what?
What do you guys actually talk about on the radio?
Right now we're covering the incident that's going on in Paris. What are your thoughts on that?
The what?
The incident in Paris?
I think it's all, I guess, live.
Yeah, got a little bit of problems hearing you. Maybe you can call back in here in a second. But
but these guys had a lot of time, you know, like, and the police response time was off. Response time was off, you know.
And yeah, and did you see the video that was released today of you know, the supposed two brothers, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, I don't know, but the two shooters, and they're just so calm and casual, like they're very, very, very well trained and professional.
You want to call that well trained?
You know, they just seem very cool, calm, and collected, and they don't seem like somebody that would have necessarily left an ID behind. You know, and that's how we supposedly know who this is, because they left an ID behind. And I think a really big question for me regarding the situation, too, is I think it's very coincidental that they have started talking about the relationship with, especially Saeed and his relationship with the underwear bomber, which, if nobody remembers, it was a...
Catch me up on that.
Okay, what it was is...
Let's catch the listeners up on that also.
All right. I tell you what. First, we got a call coming in from area code 505. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How you doing this evening?
Did it just hang up?
Yeah, it looks like it wasn't coming in. So anyway, we got another one from 361. Welcome to Anti-Media. How you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Like what you're putting on tonight. I got questions about this Paris thing going on.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I hope you guys have questions about this thing. Let me ask you the biggest question right now. We're all advocates of freedom, and especially freedom of speech. With the freedom of speech, there has to be some sort of responsibility. Is that correct? I mean, you just don't get the opportunity to spout off willy-nilly. Because, I mean, seriously, you know, as it stands in the world right now, you making fun of Allah is satire, but if you were to say something equivalent about the Jews, well, that's anti-Semitism, and in a lot of places, that's a crime.
You know, that actually happened in 2009. They had an artist for Charlie Hebdo that had made a cartoon that was, you know, making fun of the Jewish religion a bit, and the guy got fired. But
now this is not satire. This is a crime. This is an issue we have to address. These people are knowingly picking a fight, and be honest with you, these aren't guys that can stand up for themselves. So they need the man to step in to take care of them. Because these are, look, you guys are kind of from a similar area that I'm from. You're southern guys. It ain't no thing to have a gun. You know, everybody you know's got a gun.
Yeah,
well, that's not right. The way it is over there. And they ain't got no way to protect themselves, so they need the man to come in and do it. And you know what? That means tens of thousands of cops and soldiers and everybody in your town, because these jackasses wanted to make fun of somebody's God. I don't think that's freedom of speech, guys. I think that's a big, bold setup.
Yeah, you know, it definitely seems that way. What, as far as... as the setup, where do you think it's coming from, and who do you think is behind it?
Well, I'd like to say it as to who it's coming from. Look who it benefits. That's who I would say who it benefits. And when you look at all these terrorist activities that always happen, you know, some guy goes out and does, you know, kills, you know, a couple people here or there, you know, they launch a rocket or something. The impact on these people's families, the ones that they're supposedly standing up for, is so great and outrageous that, I mean, they can't be, you know, the dumb savages that the media paints them to be, and seeing their family get blown up. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I look at who is benefiting in the end from all this, and I'm going to tell you what, that's who's behind it. So like, well, follow the money, you know?
Follow the money.
Absolutely.
So, gentlemen, I appreciate what you're doing. Stay strong, and I really appreciate the show. I'm going to keep listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call.
I appreciate calling, man.
So, yeah, you know, he made some really good points.
He was
there,
right.
Talking about, you know, this obviously is not going to benefit Muslims in any way. We have a situation where now the TV is screaming about going into Yemen right now. And they want to attack Yemen because one of them had visited Yemen one time and talked to a guy that the U.S. has killed 3 years prior in 2011, Anwar al-Awlaki. But, you know, there's...
Well, they also was talking about the cartoonist from America that's still in hiding, you know, Molly Norris. And she was making art and things about Muhammad every day. And she had to go into hiding because they say that threats was coming from Al-Qaeda on our homeland, supposedly. You know, and now we're just not hearing about this. And they blasting that also, you know.
Right. And I think, you know, too, with all the anti-Muslim rhetoric that's kind of going around right now, one story that kind of the media missed, kind of off and on topic here, was in Detroit. The Islamic Relief USA and the Michigan Muslim Community Council both collectively donated $100,000 to the Detroit Water Fund and the Wayne Metropolitan Community Action Agency. And basically that $100,000 is going to be allocated to help the 31,000 people over the past 12 months in Detroit who've had their water cut off. It's going to help them keep their water and help the community and for people to have water in Detroit.
Well, I think that's great.
Absolutely. But,
and that shows you what?
But it came from the Muslim community. You know, if that would have been another group, would have been promoted more, I don't know. But it seems like right now that they're trying to demonize this community so bad that would be at least acknowledged a little bit to say, hey, you know what? You know, it's not everybody in that group. That's, you know, but they're not doing that. They're just, the
right.
Drums are beaten. The laws are coming down. Here's kind of something that's in the aftermath of this, too, is we've got David Cameron coming out and saying that he's ready to take away iMessaging from people and the WhatsApp because, you know, warrant, no warrant, whatever, they can't be spied on, basically. His actual quote was, speaking of the UK, in our country, do we want to allow a means of communication between people which we cannot read? So basically, he's reflecting upon 1984 and saying that to keep you safe, we need to be able to read every single communication that you have. And if we can't read it, it should be illegal. That's absolutely terrifying. That they're already, this is in place. They already tried to pass this once over there and it failed. But he's already started talking about it again since this. They're talking about the internet here, censoring the internet here and all that situation. What is the only thing to achieve from censoring the internet? Are you going to stop a terrorist attack from doing that? No, you're absolutely not. What you are going to stop is a story that we ran yesterday of the uncensored video of the cop on the sidewalk being shot. It's not what the media says it is. The media claims that video to be very, very graphic, and you see a man's head get blown off. But in the actual video, you don't see any of that. We have another phone call coming in from area code 814. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. What would you like to talk about tonight?
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Yo, I actually got a topic for you guys. You'll probably never believe it, but I actually work for a TV company called Fox, and I'm currently in a TV show, and it's pretty much like Bill Maher's show, and we pretty much have a script for everything we do. It's supposed to be a news.
Yeah.
Like a news channel. Are
you allowed to tell us who you work for, or do you want to kind of keep that under wraps?
What? I'm not going to say anything who I work for or whatever. But, yeah, I want to keep it a little confidential. And so I follow you guys on Facebook, and I pretty much, everything that you guys do, I pretty much bring it up in my work and whatnot, because we always have to, like, do this, like, debate shit with each other. So we do it, and one day we were talking about capitalism, and I went on saying how bad capitalism is. I got called into the fucking CEO's office, and the CEO sits me down and says, "You're never talking about capitalism again."
Wow.
Yeah, I want you guys to know free speech is fucking dead.
Oh, I'm afraid it's been dead for quite some time. Now, what happens in your meetings and y'all's discussions where you bring up a topic, you know, maybe a different narrative than that's what's getting pushed out that day? What do they tell y'all?
They now tell us what we're going to report.
So do y'all have like a script come down or?
Yeah, it was originally what the job originally was. It was supposed to be, like the talk, like with Ozzy Osbourne's wife. And it's supposed to be expressing your own beliefs and your own opinions on stuff. And
can I take a wild guess and say you work for the Five?
What?
Do you work for the Five?
I am in the Five.
Oh, okay, wow.
Like, it's a different show, like, it's a different topic, but it's, like, the same kind of thing. But, yeah, man, it's crazy shit.
That
free speech is dead, right?
What I can hear, man.
So, do you know where these scripts are coming down from? Is it just...
It's coming down from fucking Fox. Like, the CEO guys, like, they're writing it.
And y'all are just told what to report?
We're told what to report.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. Well, thank
like,
you so
I wanted
much
to
for
talk,
your comments.
I wanted to talk... Yeah, man, I wanted to... I fucking steal another minute or two. Like, I wanted to talk about, like, with the Kosh brothers and shit. Oh, my God, I have never been
the Kosh brothers
more in my life.
The brothers, the Kwachi brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us your thoughts on that.
It just fucking, it's just ratchet, man. They shouldn't be, and we should just fucking take those guys out.
Well,
like, those are financial terrorists.
Oh, you're talking about the, okay. I know exactly who you're talking about. The backers of Freedom Watch, I guess, with,
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Kosh brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about them. I got shut down. I have never seen in my entire life something so bad. So, but whenever someone goes on the internet or whatever and starts looking up shit on the news, everything's fake. It's all written by corporate media, man.
So,
very few times you can find stuff that's not written by it.
So do you believe that it's all coming down from one central office at Fox? Or do you think it's coming from somewhere outside of Fox and they're told what to say? Where do you believe that all stems from?
I really don't know. Really don't know. I just get lines on a piece of paper and I'm told what to say.
Wow. So you're just a reader. You're a professional reader, basically.
Yeah, and I'm really tempted to just say fuck it and quit it. Because it beats everything your morals say.
Well, you know, I feel like we're at a time and place where, you know, with the way the internet is and the way communication is you could take your talents and go independent and, you know, spread your views elsewhere. And instead of using your talents for Fox News, possibly reach millions of more people, which is the internet is doing today.
Yeah, that's what you guys do.
Right, and the mainstream, you know, despite the fact that, you know, everybody believes, or, you know, that they're the kings, that's not the case anymore. I mean, you've got from Drudge to Alex Jones InfoWars to Anti-Media to Free Thought Project, whatever it is, way more people are listening to independent media, even different varied degrees of it, than they are paying attention to the mainstream corporate news.
Yeah, it's bullshit, man.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight and giving us your input.
You're welcome, man. I've been trying to get you guys for a while now.
Well, I really much appreciate it. I tell you what, if you want to hit us a line on Facebook, we'll keep in contact.
Okay. Yeah, I'll message you guys right over.
All right, thanks so much.
First name's Philip.
Cool, sounds good, man. Thanks so much, Philip.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, so that's there you go, D. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm stunned.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, guess what? We kind of figured that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's no new information. Area code 940 calling into the show right now. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about what happened in Paris and the President Obama, a.k.a. President Dickshit.
Okay.
Here's my thing. What happened in Paris is very sad. I admit, you know, watching all the people die is horrible. But why isn't Obama coming on national TV and saying, look, this is radical Islam. We need to get the people out of the country. We need to fight them. But no, he's not. He's just sitting on his butt and watching football game while he's been in Paris with a million people watching. Why wouldn't he do?
Okay, I'll say this, and, you know, I'm not one to ever really defend Barack Obama, but it was an attack on France. An attack on France is not an attack on the United States. So I don't necessarily believe that it is. I don't believe the United States should be the police of the world in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like that is for France to take care of and not the United States.
But if you look at it, Australia, Canada, which it could happen in the United States because we haven't displayed the passport of these little dipshits that go to Syria and join ISIS, and they just come right back in the United States and commit crimes, you know? And like the two brothers, they went to Syria or Yemen, trained with the terrorist group, and they came back, and guess what? 17 people are mortal because they were trained by the freaking group in Yemen.
Right, you know, it's coming down that it was Al-Qaeda, the Arabian Peninsula. They tried to take credit for it. It's not really been confirmed that they were behind it, but it feels like this is a pretext to drag the United States into war in Yemen, which raises red flags with me that's kind of the agenda and some of the associates with Al-Awlaki and the underwear bomber. That raises questions with me as well. So I feel like Obama not going over there is not a detriment to the United States because he was elected by the people of the United States. He wasn't elected by the people of France. It's not his job to take care of the people of France. It's tragic that those people died, but that's not what Obama's elected to do. He's elected to take care of the people of the United States.
Okay, I look like this. He could have gone over there. He could have sent the vice president. He could have done something to show the world, like, hey, you know what? I'm against these fucking terrorists. I don't like them. But sand, why draw the heat sand with the people and not with the tail whistle?
You know, I don't think that his absence is necessarily standing with terrorism. I feel like his absence with the American people because he's not playing the political game, and I think that's what a lot of the photo op of standing in the street was for those political leaders. Look at us, we're standing strong. But he chose not to do it for whatever reason, whether, you know, he had bad intentions or he was actually trying to side with the American people. I don't feel like his absence was a negative thing. I know a lot of people do, but I don't feel like he was elected to go stand in the street in Paris.
I mean, yeah. But he could have sent somebody there to do it for him. You know, he could say, hey, Joe Biden, get on a plane, go to France. Tell them we're right there with y'all, you know?
And that, sending Joe Biden anywhere is probably more of an insult than it is anything. So he was probably right not to send him.
I'm sorry, but that's funny.
I tell you what, thank you so much for your call this evening. Thank you so much for your input. You have a good night.
Thank you, we appreciate it.
Here we go. Go ahead.
I have to say, man, you know, it's just looking into this, you know, and I think that caller was right. We just got to follow the money.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, just like last week, it's like we have seen this before. Now it's playing out, it's unfolding even more. It's like, you know. Remember, like, the conversation that we were talking about last week on the show.
And the whole situation.
The Boston situation. Right. It's like, yes, we have seen this before.
It's very reminiscent of the situation in Boston. Got another caller calling in from area code 682. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. What would you like to talk about tonight?
Yes, I would like to just say one thing. The TV and everything is a lie. You know, they put stuff in people's minds to make them think that the stuff is going on, but it's really not, you know. That's what I really would like to talk about today. You know, how the media is brainwashing these people, you know.
Right, it absolutely feels that way, especially with the Paris situation, telling us that they show us a very censored clip of a situation, and when you see the uncensored version, it's not what they've been telling you had happened. And I think the media is exactly what you're saying. Because
that's exactly what it is.
Right, because are we saying that that cop didn't get killed? No, nobody's saying that. Are we saying there weren't people there shooting people? No. But what is a fact is that the media was lying about it. Was it for ratings? What was it for? But they were lying. And you can't trust the corporate.
Yeah, I mean the media really lies about everything.
Right.
Like, if you think about it, the media just, this dude just did this and this, you know. Oh, you better watch out for Ebola. Yeah, that shit's not real, you know.
Absolutely. It's all distraction. It's, you know, it's look at the right hand so you don't know what the left hand's doing. And that's what the media is there.
Open your third eye, you know? Open your third eye and realize what's going on in the real world. You know? We got people, like, you know, struggling for, like, jobs and stuff, and we're not even doing anything about it. You know? That's my point, though. You know? We got people that don't even care, and then they want to care about what's on the news and what people talk about.
Right, and the media, too, has become such that they're really more of a bunch of personalities and talking heads that are cheerleaders for one agenda or another agenda, which basically it's all the same agenda.
And they're little puppets on the screen.
Absolutely.
That's what they are.
I don't know if you saw the clip the other day from the lady on Fox News, Judge Jeanine, and she's just sitting there screaming into the camera, bomb them, bomb them, bomb them, bomb them. It's like, are you kidding me, lady? Like, you know,
just trying to get people distracted by what's really happening.
Right. You know? Or they're trying to make people bloodthirsty too, I think.
Yeah. And you know what? We don't really need another war. We don't need anything. We just need peace and love.
Absolutely.
I think
that's all
we need. Headed into one, though. Soon, you know.
Oh, yes. They're expanding our military operations because of this. I believe that is definitely in the cards. You know, will we be able to do what we did last year with Syria and overcome it? I don't know, but I think that is what they want out of this.
Yeah, and you actually think these military people want to actually go to war when they just got done with, like, Syria? You know, that's insane. You know, that's crazy.
Right, and, I see at least 3 times a day now these commercials for the Wounded Warrior Project. It makes me so mad to see those commercials. Not because I don't have sympathy for those people, but it's because I have sympathy for those people that it makes me mad. It's like, you know what? I'm not saying I should be president, but if I was president, I could have made that not happen by not sending those people to war for no reason.
Exactly, dude. That's exactly where I'm trying to get to, you know. And we don't need these wars. We don't need to be fighting. We don't need anything except peace and love. That's my, you know.
You know, I wish we could get on the same page with that with everybody, but unfortunately, you know, we're fighting.
Imagine a place only with that, though, you know.
Yeah.
When it's so possible. But it's not possible when you have people that just want to control and power, you know, and rule.
They just want the money. They're money hungry. They're just to rule people. And you know what's the thing? Like, you know, why is money, like, involved? You know, why does this world just care about money? You know, why do we need this money? Everything should be free. Everything in the world should be free. We should
money
be
really
having
doesn't
pay for
exist.
Nothing.
You know,
huh?
Money really doesn't exist. It's just perfect accounting.
Yeah, and it's just a piece of paper that we just fall for, you know?
Basically, when you think of money, it's a measure of your work is what it's supposed to mean. When you think of it in those terms, and it's viewed as, from society, that the more work you've done, the more money you have. But we all know in reality that's not true, because there's people that work in a dump that do much, much harder work than some CEO. And the CEO's making...
Well, the bankers, you know?
Absolutely.
$300 million a year.
And I believe that's where the status, you know, somebody that has money, you go, oh, you have status, you have intelligence, because you've figured out a way to... You've earned this money. That's not always the case.
And you know, the thing is, like, people that work at, like, fast food restaurants, they're only fucking making $7.25. And they should raise that shit up to, like, $10 an hour, because they sweat their ass off in the back, you know?
I'll tell you why I disagree with you on that. And the only reason why I disagree with that is because I believe that the government has interfered with things enough. And what we need to do is get away from the Federal Reserve system. Because you're the reason that those people need that amount of money now, because they've devalued the dollar so much. And so I believe by saying that, you know, we need to raise minimum wage, I think that's counterproductive. And what we need to do is address the actual problem and get the Federal Reserve out of the picture.
Yeah, of course.
But thank you so much for your call this evening, man. You have a good night.
No problem, man. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, man. Call back.
So, you know, he goes back.
I'm really liking the callers tonight.
It's a... really, really good show so far. I don't bet you didn't know this. You know who's going to be here in Birmingham, Alabama tomorrow?
Who?
Marco Rubio.
Need to pay him a visit.
Oh, yeah, we should go to... Well, I know the listeners hadn't heard this story, but a kid I went to high school with, who was pretty much my... somebody I was not friends with, to say the least. He is apparently now the head of the Republican Party for Jefferson County, which is the county we live in. And he was the most racist human being I've ever met in my life. He was despicable. So I'm sure he'll be there tomorrow with Rubio, and I'm sure he won't drop the N-word like he used to do all the time in high school around him. But got a another call coming in, area code 418. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How you doing tonight?
Hey, you guys. I'm doing great tonight, actually.
First off, what would you like to talk about?
Sorry?
What would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, first of all, I want you guys to know I'm from Quebec, Canada, which makes me a French. So I might have some problems speaking English with you guys tonight. So I don't think it'll be that bad. All right, so first thing I want to talk to you guys about is, as a foreigner, I've been watching the effect of the United States and the United States imperialism all over the world, and I've been wondering, if you ever given any thought to what would the world be like without America? What would we be as a world, as a global civilization today?
That's a really, really, really good question.
Yes.
I partly feel it would be worse, and I partly feel at a certain time point
yes.
it would be better. It depends. It's hard to say. I mean, I feel like...
Well, it's just knowing that the United States has been driving the whole... Well, by its foreign influence, it's been just driving the whole international conversation and the whole international just the momentum for hundreds of years already since the beginning of the real global civilization when you think of the creation of the United Nations. And where's the United Nations headquarters?
Right, New York City.
New York.
Right. Now, now you tell me your perspective as an outsider looking in. How do you see the world without the United
I
States
see,
in it?
The way I see the United States is I don't want to compare it to some of the North Korean regime as you can't get in or out and there's no way of comparing it. But I think there is some way of comparison when you think of the indoctrinement and the way just everyone just believes in this and believes in this flag so hard and so strong. It is mesmerizing, I'll tell you that.
I
was reading an article this morning. I just knew for the first time this morning that it was mandatory for kids to pledge allegiance to the United States every morning.
Yes,
I did not know that. Did you realize how fucking crazy this is? And how it would not even be possible, not even thinkable up here in Canada. I'm not saying we're liberals or anything. It's just any country in the world, it wouldn't even be possible.
Well, you know,
this is literally indoctrinement, and it is literally propaganda to kids.
It's not only that; it's indoctrination. And I want to throw this story out here to you real quick. I have a friend of mine. I may have mentioned this on the show before, who is a preacher, and especially like the Fox News conservative Christian crowd are the most supportive of. You know, I'm going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they hold their God and country together. The irony of all that is that the faith that they claim to profess is that you have no other idols before you. And these are the exact same people that are putting mm-hmm. an American flag up or a country up or an idol.
I know, but the problem is even deeper than that. It's also when you think about all the corporate media that there is down there, the problem is, It's not even rooting in the way people think. It's also the way the government acts and the government makes
and
decisions
mostly,
based on what the people want them to think.
But,
and that brings corporate media like CNN, like Fox News, that just completely jokes. And they're literally just big talking heads.
I gotta
heads
say, America is a great place.
What'd you say?
America is a great place. Sometimes we can't
agree. It is a great place. I don't want to say it is not.
You know,
no, if you want to,
people here.
I don't want to bring down America. What I want to say is that there is a problem with the media. it has been just distracting the people. Like, it was some kind of a left and right, when really it's just right all along. And the only left that there is, a little bit of left, it's maybe, well, social programs, stuff like that. But that's what keeps a nation together.
Oh, I absolutely.
Problem is maybe with the Fed.
Sorry? Absolutely. I mean, just today, whether it was on CNN, whether it was on MSNBC, whether it was on Fox, I saw multiple times today channels throwing up 9/11. And why are they doing that? They're trying to put you back in the mindset that you're talking about.
Exactly. Like, it could happen again.
Right.
And
I really think that we're going into Yemen now. I really think that...
Well, we've kind of already been there. They've been in, like, three civil wars. They got a lot of problems going on, but and we've kind of been there without saying we've been there, but I feel like this is... They're trying to take the internet away from us. They want to make sure they can read and listen to everything we do, and they want to expand, and basically they want to take out the Middle East and get through Syria, Iran, and Yemen. They've already gotten Libya. They've gotten Iraq. And you have to ask yourself, which goes back to the very original caller, who is to gain from all this? Who is to gain from us taking out these countries? It certainly could appear.
Follow the money.
Right.
You know, we've been saying that all, you know, the whole time. That's what we have to do.
Absolutely.
Follow the money.
And to go back to our caller here, now from your perspective in Quebec, what does it seem like to you as far as what the United States is doing overseas?
I think it's just expanding influence. When you think of the Middle East, the United States has been acting like some kind of a Roman Empire. When you think of the greatest empires in the world, even with the Roman Empire and even with the Mongolian Empire under Genghis Khan, it wasn't all flags and stuff. It was more about influence and how far did people speak the Roman language and how far did people speak Mongolian. And that was what it was all about. And how far did they control the markets? And how far did they control the resources?
See, I think you asked...
What is the United States doing right now? It's the exact same thing. It is exactly not colonization. It is imperialism. It's literally taking by the force of the markets and by the force of the buying power of the United States economy. It's by just going out there and buying literally countries and governments. And I think when you guys are saying that the problem in the United States is the Fed, I think it is kind of a problem. It is part of the problem. But one of the major problems that we're often ignoring is all the money in politics. Take out the money of the politics. Take out the influence of corporations and companies and individuals in politics. And you just solve the biggest part of the problem there. Because these guys don't work for us anymore.
No, and they haven't in quite some time. I think that, you know, all, and it could have happened long before this.
Yeah, but that's why decentralization is so important. Decentralize everything.
Well, absolutely. We should decentralize everything. But, you know, was the country taken over when... FDR was in office and Smedley Butler went to Congress and said, you know, Prescott Bush is trying to take over everything? Or was the country taken over in Dealey Plaza in 1963? You know, I don't know, but it feels like that it's not the same country that we read in history books. I think the absolute amazing point that the caller made was, if you look back at the Nazi Empire and what they did and the way they went through Europe, they went to a country and they put a flag up and they said, you're now part of our country. And they put their own flag up and people weren't having that. But like he said, the Roman Empire, the United States, they go to a country and they say, you can stay your own country. You're your own sovereign nation, except we control it now. And they control it from behind the scenes. Whereas Hitler was more upfront and just said, you're part of us. that makes people mad and think, you know, you're horrible. But it's, if you think about it, it's all the same thing with just a different piece of fabric at the top of your Capitol building.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just want to leave you on this because I don't want to go over 10 minutes with you guys. It'll be really expensive on my cell phone bill. But I just want to just send it out there. Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, wasn't in Paris either this week. And you know what? It didn't make the news.
Right.
So I just want to tell you guys that.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much.
So have a very good night.
You too.
Thanks, man.
Area code 651, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. What would you like to talk about?
I see that you guys are talking about imperialism, and I see you guys are maybe talking a bit about Islam and the situation out in the Middle East right now, or actually in the West as well.
Right, absolutely.
And what's your input on all that? How do you feel about what's going on in Paris and, you know, in...
And I think that the things that are going on in Paris are they benefit some people that are kind of of the more extreme persuasion in the on the political right in Europe. I think that they offer a very good opportunity, like as a PR stunt for you know, President Netanyahu and his ilk. And I think that that. You know, there's. We should always question whether there are things that are being manipulated that we aren't being told by the mainstream media.
Absolutely. Just so the listeners know, we posted the new Charlie Hebdo cover on our Twitter account just now at the Anti-Media One. There's a lot of people that's getting stirred up about that. You know, back to the corporatism of everything. It just seems like everything's a big distraction with it, and they want you focusing on these other things and basically showing you this for you to decide for yourself.
Well, I mean, I think, it's absolutely right. The cartoons that have been put out by Charlie Hebdo, I don't believe that they really qualify as satire. Satire is something that you're aiming at people that are in power. Satire is not something that you aim, you know, and you're from a position of power and you're aiming down. That's just ridiculous. The way that they've been promoted here in the West, it was just, internet, you know, the instantaneity of the internet aside, it's just kind of ridiculous how quickly that stuff got picked up. Even our journalists, you saw the same thing a few weeks ago with North Korean, all that that hullabaloo about North Korea hacking Sony, which was obviously just totally also ridiculous.
Crazy.
Oh yeah.
That North Koreans were capable of hacking into the Sony Corporation. Yet all these cartoonists were so ready to jump on all over North Korea. I mean, I was up in Minnesota. I mean, 651. It's a St. Paul. I was up for the holidays with my family, and I saw that right there in the Star Tribune there was these cartoons about North Koreans hacking people, and it was I laughed not for the reasons that they wanted me to.
They have like two cities that have electricity.
Internet, like, they just was exposed to it, like, in 2011, right?
Yeah, and then it's immediately being used as an excuse to reintroduce these ideas about, cable companies or telecom companies having control, you know, with whatever, SOPA or whatever they're calling it right now.
Right.
Basically taking away the rights to the free internet and the speed that's guaranteed just by the existence of the infrastructure.
Look at the
Obama just tried to slide a bill through on freeing all that up in 17 states on broadband. That that major companies can't just screw people over anymore.
anymore. Like, us using White House here.
Yeah, so, I mean, frankly, there's people out there who understand exactly what the potential of the internet is, and that's, you know, if we can communicate any amount of information over any distance, then the internet represents the single greatest possibility for the exercise of democracy that's ever been, you know, that we've had since civilization began. And I think that there are people who recognize that, they see it, and they say, well, if we can close it off before the majority of people realize that, and instead of, you know, watching funny videos on YouTube or whatever, that people could, this is actually a way that people can communicate, disseminate information and actually hold, you know, debates, you know, and really shore up what we've lost over the years through the destruction of education and the commons.
Absolutely. Not sure if either one of y'all have kept up with this too much. The CENTCOM, the Twitter hack on CENTCOM, you know, ICE claiming ISIS hacked it, yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm not sure. Anonymous found out that the IP address came out of Maryland. Not guess who's stationed in Maryland? The NSA. Now, the NSA did it. It doesn't, but is there ISIS in Maryland that's doing this? Eh, that seems pretty unlikely. So... Mm-hmm.
VPNs, you know.
So, well, I mean, you put that with, alongside the you know, that whatever that truck in Texas, the plumber's truck that showed up in one of these ISIS videos, supposedly.
Yeah,
you know,
and look, he's like, I don't know how my truck got there.
Yeah, must have across, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's some guy in Texas, and his truck just shows up in an ISIS video. And, mm-hmm. and like, he had no idea, and we do know that we sold them, what, like, these 40 Toyota SUVs, or Nissan, or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, back when we were supporting them, and arming them.
We're dropping weapons, we're giving them weapons right now.
Yeah, I mean, way to the Middle East. Maybe it was just, you know, shot, you know, what I won't say moon landing style, because I don't know about the moon landing. I haven't looked into that or anything. But, you know, you get the idea. It's just they get the props in, and they get the actors in, and then they say, oh, this was a video that we received through intelligence.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, thank you so much for your input tonight, and thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call in again, man.
Yeah, stay righteous.
Thanks, man. And so I have to say, man, I appreciate these callers calling in tonight.
Yeah,
and,
I mean...
And sharing.
It's been... You know, the different perspectives have been absolutely fantastic and weighing the global issues.
Yes. And hearing from the caller from Quebec, you know?
Absolutely. So where are you... And you know, I know you well enough to know that you don't have all the information. I don't have all the information. But where are you on this, the Paris situation? Are you buying what's in the media? Are you questioning what we're being told?
Well, you know, we always have to question it. You know, it's just not all adding up. I'm waiting on the Bolivian, the guy that was caught in Bolivia. You know, let's see what kind of things are said about this character, you know? I'm just waiting to see what they're going to pull out the hat this time, you know?
Absolutely.
Who is he?
That's a lot. How soon do you think that the girlfriend, the woman involved in the supposedly involved in the kosher market, she's in Syria now, is what they're reporting. Do you think
yes.
it appears off the radar?
Look, it made it to Syria. I'm talking about, look. It was like 80,000 deployed, all right?
80,000, yes.
80,000 people deployed, okay? And this one female made it to Syria in what, less than 6 days?
Right. Well, some reports are saying she was there. Some reports are saying she left before. You know, it depends on which news channel you're watching, which hour, as far as when and where she was at what point. It's definitely all a big distraction. I could see this definitely losing steam and people forgetting she even exists. And they'll be like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about as far as her. We've hit on this a few times. The underwear bomber.
Yes.
Make sure
you know more about that.
Information is that it came out 100% fact. If you don't believe it, get on your computer and Google the words underwear bomber CIA. He was a CIA asset. Saeed, the brother, one of the shooters at the Paris terror attack, it's being reported that he was a roommate with this CIA asset. Also being reported, okay, that they were in contact with Anwar al-Awlaki, okay? The man's been dead since 2011, so he obviously did not mastermind this. What's funny, okay, so we're just connecting the dots here. The Amidi guy that was part of the kosher market attack, the black dude, he met with Sarkozy in 2009. I mean, if you just don't want to start making up, you know, connecting the dots, one met with a CIA.
It's getting to a point where it's so hilarious. It's like, it is funny.
You know?
I think some of this need to be put on Comedy Central.
Absolutely. And that's not saying, oh, Sarkozy was behind this at all, but it's just ridiculous. It's like, well, he met with this guy, but one of them also met with Sarkozy. It's just like, are you kidding me? It's absolutely insane.
So, tell me your input. Where do you think all this is coming from, Mister?
You know.
And what's next? You have to tell me what your input on the Yemen situation. I feel like
this is ramping up to go into to formally go into Yemen. I'll put it that way. Formally go in. We've definitely had a presence there for quite some time. But I think this is more of our own formal invitation to ourselves to get involved in that country. I feel like Syria is a big deal. You know, that's getting mentioned. Yemen's definitely getting mentioned. They're not going to be happy until they have all those countries taken out and taken over. ISIS is there. ISIS was created by the United States. That doesn't mean that ISIS is the United States. But they were created by the United States by causing instability in the nations and the regions and giving people a reason to hate the United States.
For generations.
Absolutely. If the United States would never have gone into Iraq after 9/11, which had nothing to do with 9/11, we would not be dealing, nobody would have ever heard the word ISIS. So our own foreign policy did create that institution. Now you've got like this 10-year-old kid shooting people in the head. Do people really, like, if we can even put our heads in the space, I really can't, but if you're trying to propagandize the world, mm-hmm. who has more to benefit from seeing a 10-year-old kid shoot somebody in the back of the head? Are these terrorists doing this and going, yeah, we're proving our point, we got 10-year-olds shooting these people, or does it make more sense from somebody from the other side saying, we're going to have a 10-year-old shoot these people. And then the next thing you know, they're going to be like, they're monsters. Let's kill them all. That's kind of more how it feels to me.
Well, I appreciate the call.
Absolutely, D. Listen, I'll see you Thursday, D. Thank everybody so much for calling in tonight. Absolutely great show. Keep up with antimedia.org and also follow us on Twitter at @TheAntimedia1. I'ma let 'em know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.